is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work while the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming, when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon. Fill bright stars with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming, men and work no more. Work for the night is coming, under the sunset sky. While their bright tints are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. I am thinking today of that beautiful when I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful ways by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars, many stars in my crown? When I see thee the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray, let me watch as a leader of souls. That bright stars may be mine in a glorious day, when he breaks like the sea billows roll. Will there be any stars in my heart, when I hear in the sun go with down? When I wake with a breath in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what joy will it be when his face I behold, leaving gems at his feet to lay down. He would weep in my breast in the city of gold. Should there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? Can I hear the sun go with God? When I wake with a breath in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown?
Amen. Amen, amen. Glad we got that on recording. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for Sabbath. Thank you for teaching us about your law, how it has never changed, and it is eternal. Thank you for blessing us all on this Sabbath day with all that we need to grow. Thank you for the trials that you send that help us get closer to your Son. And thank you for blessing our efforts and blessing the workers and those that help the workers and everybody that on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are sick. We thank you for blessing us once again with the truth and letting it be planted deeply within our hearts so that we can share with whoever you send our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I like to usually do 30-minute sermons, but this one might go 35 or 40. There's a few things I wanted to cover before I share some things that are happening right now. Now, if you're a faithful student in the Word, and a student of prophecy, you already know all about the prophecies that are to be fulfilled in our day. And without too much trouble, we can look around and see that most of the prophecies have already been fulfilled. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, so as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be, or no, nor ever shall be." Thanks to the Vatican altering history books, most of us are unaware, well, not most of us, but most of the world are unaware of this prophetic event has come and gone. Most churches today preach this event is to occur sometime in the future. Rome did this to hide the fact that their evil past is very apparent to those that study history. Historic fact is the Vatican killed hundreds of millions of Christians during their first reign as Satan's Antichrist from 538 AD to 1798 AD. In fact, John Paul II admitted this in his globally publicized Mea Culpa in March of 2000, that the Vatican did in fact kill those people. Using common sense, one can see he did that knowing with the onset of the Internet, even the poorest countries can now easily discover these facts by surfing the Internet in Internet cafes. You can do it for free. So even if you lived, like even if you were homeless, you can find this. One such quote can be found out of many that says, this is from Brief Bible Readings of the Home, page 16, it says, "For teaching faith contrary to the teaching of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people." What amazes me about the preachers that ignore this historic past is that they act as if something like this wouldn't be prophesied by our Lord. To say the prophecy about the Great Tribulation is for the future, where would Christian prophecy fit in the 1,260-year reign that both Daniel and Revelation speak of, wherein the Vatican is prophesied to kill those Christians? I mean, we know it happened. We know millions died. Are we supposed to believe our God missed this one when prophesying in his word? Or, I mean, are all the other prophecies that had actual dates pointed to them, thanks to Daniel's correct interpretation, well, blessings of understanding and penning them into the word. I mean, are they all these dates that he put in there that the angel gave him? I mean, are they actual dates or did he mess up? Or like so many political crimes we see today, has this been covered up to hide the truth? I mean, we see how they do this thing called spin doctoring today. They cover things up. And Rome has been doing that for thousands of years. I mean, and I'm not saying just the Catholic Church. Pagan Rome is the father of politics mostly. I mean, sure, we had politics in the Jewish churches back in the beginning and that, but no one did it like the Romans did it. And they know how to do this. I mean, in any event, we know this happened. We have many on- and offline sources to confirm it. And it did happen in the exact same 1,260-year time span that Daniel 7:25 or Revelation 12:6 and Revelation 13:5 all spoke of. I mean, is that a mere coincidence that the Bible touches on here? Or is it the Lord purposely repeating this prophetic event three times in the Word to let people know how the Vatican has been trying to hide this all along? Well, I think we all know the answer to that one. As students of prophecy, We are also aware of how Jesus said in Matthew 24:29 that immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. I mean, do we not already have documented statements declaring this happened around the time the Vatican stopped killing the Christians? We know about the dark day of May 19, 1780, where the sun refused to shine and the moon appeared as blood when the darkness started to lift. We also know about the stars falling from heaven in all those historic records that outline the events of November 13, 1833. The fact all this occurred after the Vatican stopped killing the Christians further confirms they not only covered up the prophetic event they fulfilled themselves, it confirms the prophecy of our Lord to be 100% accurate once again. I mean, even the Lisbon earthquake of November 1st, 1755 is something anyone with competent knowledge of history knows about. This quake was considered to be a global quake, and according to prophecy, it was to happen before the sun turned dark and the moon became as blood. Revelation 6:12 clearly says, "And I beheld when he had opened up the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." And then what does it say? It tells you in order. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So, as we can see, the quake came first, and then the dark day. This massive quake happened in 1755, and the dark day of May 19 came in 1780. And by the way, for those of you that would like all the documents and the historic facts on all of this, just download my free book, People Get Ready, from the website. It's in the prophecy section of the website, or the manuscript section of the menu, either way. And for those of you in the room, it's just the top link. In the top of the notes there. So, as students of prophecy, we also know about the wars and the rumors of wars that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, when he said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Just watching the daily news can make it easy for any scoffer to see this prophecy fulfilled. But notice what else Jesus says in this passage. He said famines, pestilences, and earthquakes would also come upon the world. Even though we have modern technology wherein a farmer can cultivate an entire acre of land in less than a minute now, and I've seen this every year looking out my window, yet the same amount of land would take a man an entire day to work before the year 1900. We still have people starving all over this planet anyway, though. And no, it's not because we're overpopulated, as some may assume. With the larger numbers of people have also come much larger fields for the farmers, which, by the way, they can work more quicker now because they have the technology to keep up with the demand. But thanks to politics and how money is worshipped today, millions die every year of starvation due to political bureaucracy. And as for the earthquakes, I would have to think everyone in this church gathered here today has felt at least one quake in their lifetime. I mean, I live in rural Indiana, and I have felt two earthquakes here that were over 4.0 in just the past 5 years alone. And so, anyway. But next, Jesus, he speaks of disease, the pestilence and other things, and quite contrary to the popular belief. Infectious disease is not common reality for planet Earth. Yes, there has been times that you've had, like the occasional plague or whatever, but this wasn't always the case. I mean, the plagues would come and go, and that'd be the end of it. It was never an ongoing thing where it lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted and it just never ended. But Jesus, he's declaring in the prophecies here, our Lord, that this is going to be the norm for today. But disease as it is today is global, and it's happening on a daily basis and has been this way for well over 100 years. Absolutely every nation on earth has seen a major increase in all sorts of old as well as brand new diseases coming upon them in just the last century alone. In fact, do a little research online, and you're going to find that it wasn't until 1849 that scientists started to track such strange diseases popping up in the world. The first, of course, being cholera. And yes, that's just 4 years after the end times officially began, according to the prophecy laid out in Daniel chapter 8. That's not a coincidence. When we begin to look at the big picture, we see yet another prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus said in Luke 21, verses 25 and 26, that the distress of nations with perplexity will cause men's hearts to begin failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. There are literally thousands of case studies, articles, books, and documentaries on how people are so fearful today. This is why drugs are also becoming so commonplace. I mean, legal or illegal, it don't matter anymore now. Everything from Prozac to cocaine are what people are looking to now to drown out their fears, which, by the way, is also a prophesied event. And, you know, 2 Timothy 3:4 said that in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And it's not just drugs and alcohol that fulfill the lust of the flesh. We see, you know, there's immorality, and the decline of spirituality is also way out of proportion for some. I mean, it's just becoming normal now. I mean, look at Las Vegas. That's just that entire city. It's called Sin City for a reason. And yes, that too was prophesied. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Everything from unnatural affection, which of course is homosexuality, to children being disobedient to parents is what we see in society today. This is the norm. Children actually disobey the very ones that love and care for them more than anyone alive, and some of these children even kill their parents. And yes, we also have homosexuals legally getting married and society forcing their lifestyle upon all of us as normal today, when just 30 years ago, it was illegal in most countries, including the USA, to be homosexual. But now, thanks to the 501c being enforced in 2006 by George W. Bush, if you have a 501c3, you have to allow for people to get married in your church. It has to become part of, in other words, it states in the writing of the 501c3, you can't discriminate. They're forcing, and the pastors go along with it because, like Jesus said, they worship money. And that's the reason they got the 501c3, because it allows them to go to Walmart and buy things tax-free, or a car, or a house. You know, we have seen knowledge increase as well. Daniel 12:4 predicted it. We've seen an increase in atheism, as well as scoffers that twist Bible scripture, as both 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, and 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 predicted. We've even witnessed all the animals, birds, insects, and sea life dying, as Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 predicted, just to name a few. And swarms of locusts, by the way, are devastating farms and towns as well right now. In fact, just last week, Central Valley, California lost all vegetation due to one locust swarm. Are you aware the bubonic plague has actually resurfaced in the USA in more than one area now? Bubonic plague, that's right, something you ain't heard for hundreds of years. Even if I were to stop here, we would have enough evidence to show some scoffers out there or some genuine seekers that Christian prophecy is the most complete and only accurate form of prophecy known to man. But why stop there when we're so close to the end? Yes, there are many prophecies that I haven't shared, and perhaps one day that should be outlined for all to see. As I've mentioned earlier, I do have a free book online that outlines my favorite 17 prophetic events that most churches refuse to touch on at all. If you feel the need to dig a little bit deeper in this, just download the book. But I shared a few of them today to make some realize that when we see something in the Word of God regarding a prophetic event, we should never assume it may not come to pass, and we should never even contemplate not telling somebody about the prophecies. There's a movement going on now where you shouldn't preach prophecy at all. Just preach the love of Jesus. And why do you suppose they say that? Because what's the main crux of the present truth? What does it say in 2 Thessalonians? The man of sin is going to be revealed in the last days, right? So who's the one that's going to reveal them? The ones who understand prophecy. So they have to get you to shut up about prophecy, because if you go forth and preach prophecy, you're going to expose the Pope. They don't want that. Yeah, still though, it is true that even though we do have 6,000 years worth of prophetic facts to lay out before the people, some just won't believe the truth we have to share. Still, share we must. Now, as we all know, there's one prophetic event that many have scoffed at for at least 168 years since the end times officially started in 1844. It has to do with the Mark of the Beast. And no, I'm not going to go into a long dissertation or an explanation as to what the Mark of the Beast is, because that has been done numerous times already, both on and offline. I will have to assume at this point that the souls gathered here at this time do understand that Sunday the Sabbath of the Roman Catholic Church is, in fact, what prophecy already outlines as the mark of the beast. We know the Catholic Church is outlined in Scripture as the beast, and we know that they call Sunday their mark. In fact, I have two actual quotes I want to share from the Catholic Church. This first one's from H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, which is kind of like his secretary. And he said, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change in, you know, which is, he's talking about Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath. He says that, you know, they claim that the change was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. And the next quote is from the Catholic Record of London. It was published in Ontario September 1st, 1923, for all to read, the whole world. It says, Sunday is our mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Now, I just shared an ample amount of prophetic events that I believe illustrates we are, in fact, standing at the precipice of eternity. That being the case, I have to ask, is there a movement worldwide that is being fostered by the beast in Rome that suggests Sunday laws are on the near horizon? To confirm that, yes, this is the case today, I would like to share just a few article excerpts I post online to illustrate we are soon to see Sunday laws, just as Bible-trusting Christians have been declaring for almost 200 years now. If you frequent my Sunday Law page on the website, you will notice I have well over 1,000 articles on this particular subject, and I've only got maybe a few years worth on there. So there's no way I'm going to be able to share all of them here, especially since they keep writing more every month. The truth is, I've only been able to go back 2 months before I run out of time to share just the current ones. I mean, there's some really big whoppers that I like to share from years ago. But I just want to stick with the current stuff. Because I would assume if people want to know what's happened in the past, hey, I've got it all posted online. But still, even though I'm only going back to April and just mid-April, the first one's April 2nd here, I still won't have time to share all the articles from April and May, and definitely not June, all of them. I'm just going to pick some of the cream of the crop. So, this first one here, I'm going to zip through these as quick as I can, because I think I got 10 or 12 of them, and I don't share the whole article, of course. There's no way. I just share the excerpt that, the power phrases, if you will. The first title, headline, is Texas Sabbath Showdown, The Inside Story. And it says, Berean Jewish Academy of Houston, an Orthodox Jewish high school, fielding a superb basketball team, had battled its way to the semifinals of Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools. Ironically, although TAPS, which is T-A-P-P-S, it's some acronym for something or whatever, was a sports league of private and religious schools, the association was determined not to honor any Sabbath except Christian Sunday. So, yes. This does seem strange that in a land where religious freedom is guaranteed by the Constitution, that those that keep the truth Sabbath have to go to court to gain the right to do so. Yes, I understand they are Jews. And yes, most think that the true Sabbath is for Jews only. But we know that this is not what the Word of God says. Still, schools are operated by the government, and prophecy does say that this American government, which was founded by Christians, will exchange its love of God for hatred of its people, of his people. This court case is no doubt something they can learn from on how to better enforce the mark when that day comes, because we are also Sabbath keepers, just like the Jews, only we really keep it. We don't keep it out of convenience. And this is a hurdle Rome's going to have to surpass if they're going to have any hope of performing their task at hand. And so I'm sure we will see more Sabbath court cases against Jews and Sabbath-keeping Christians in the coming days. The next headline reads, Bishop concerned unions haven't taken stand against work on Sundays. And the article says, the Church's Commission on Work issued a statement expressing its disappointment that commercial establishments have been given permission to open on public holidays that fall on Sundays. Now, was it not prophesied that unions would become a major issue for Christians in the last days? Keep in mind that whenever Rome makes a public demand like this, everyone in politics scampers to please the Pope so as to bolster their own political career because he's the father of politics. If you're in a union, you know all too well how politicized they have become the last few decades. So one can expect union officials to jump at the chance to be recognized as players in the Pope's New World Order plans. And after all, if there's money to be made, one can expect it will be sought after. And still, some think Christian prophecy is outdated, bogus, or just plain false. Why do they think that way? Well, we can get a clue from Amos chapter 8, verse 11 that says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." It's going to get a lot worse, too, by the way, than that. This next one is an actual video, but I'm not going to post the video, of course. I think all these are hot links, too, by the way, so please don't click those links when you're in the room, because you might fall out. But this headline reads, President's Day ad stresses importance of God and religion. And then the article says, a new Knights of Columbus commercial uses President's Day weekend to remind Americans that past presidents saw God and religion as foundational to the country. The 60-second spot ran on national cable networks February 18th to 20th. It is running in regional markets for Connecticut to California. And it's no mistake either. This is why the Vatican's going after that contraceptive issue. They got to keep God in politics. If they're ever going to be able to get religious laws passed, they got to keep pushing God into politics. I mean, if you saw this video, you could see how the Vatican group called the Knights of Columbus is doing all they can to twist the truth to make it appear that what Jesus said about separating church from state was outdated. Literally, they make Jesus out to be a liar. They do this so as to make it far easier to bring about those Sunday laws in the same way they brought about Christmas in America. I mean, Christmas was just one of their ways of testing the waters to see how well it is to manipulate the masses. That's, I mean, it's no different than what Orson Welles did with the War of the Worlds, testing the masses. Okay, they say it was like a real fictional story and they were just playing around, but no, they were testing the masses to see how they can manipulate the people in mass. So, all true Christians, back when America started, they knew Christmas was nothing more than a pagan ritual filled with perversion and vulgarity. But as time went on, the Catholics were able to eventually wear out the weak Christians into accepting it by flashing all the gifts, the nice little toys, the candy, the garland, the smiles, all of it. Well, Sunday laws are going to be no different. In fact, this is why John F. Kennedy enacted blue laws in 1961. Not long after he did that, it became illegal to buy and sell cars in America on Sundays. See, people keep missing these things. What business does the government have in passing religious law? And that's what John F. Kennedy did. And not long after you couldn't buy and sell cars on Sundays, many businesses, even small town mayors, were saying our doors are closed on Sundays now, and willingly. They even put signs out. I remember doing something on this. I got a few things online where I got some signs in front of City Hall in some cities, small towns, of course, where it says this town is closed on Sunday to acknowledge the Christian Sabbath. I mean, just as Christmas was stealthily accepted by the Christians, Sunday has been even more accepted. Daniel hit the prophetic nail square on the head with this one when he said what he said about the popes in Daniel 8:25, that through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Their methods are very crafty indeed. Okay, this next article is headlined. It's a video, too. April 10th it came out of this year, a couple of months ago. Sunday laws in Hawaii, that's what it says. That's the headline. And the article reads, a bill that would outlaw nearly all commercial activities on Sundays at a popular stretch of beach in Kailua faces a final vote next week after being passed unanimously Tuesday by the City Council's Parks and Cultural Affairs Committee. No, this isn't the mark of the beast being enforced as of yet, Church, okay? Yes, they are looking to pass Sunday laws, but they are not looking to prevent buying and selling all week long, as the prophecy says will be the case for those refusing to bow to the Pope. That's the mark of the beast. But what they are doing here is conditioning the masses into compliance. Blue laws like this are everywhere now. So many, in fact, that once they do pass Sunday laws by force, most will go along with it thinking, well, there's no big deal. We've been doing it all along anyway. I mean, for decades, in fact. And just so you know, they did pass this unconstitutional law in Hawaii a week after airing this news report. It is now illegal in Hawaii to buy and sell on Sunday in certain areas of Hawaii. Next headline. Let's make Sunday a day of rest for God's sake, it says. And now this is April 24th, 2012. And the excerpt says, we dance in rhythm with God when we keep the Sabbath. The reason we are called to take a day of rest is simple. Humans tend to forget that we did not make the world and thus that the world does not depend on us. And that's something how they actually acknowledge the Sunday Sabbath the way we acknowledge the real Sabbath. They're trying to manipulate it in there. talk about how it's all about the Creator. I mean, the author of this article is one confused Christian, to say the least. I mean, one minute he lifts up what he calls the Jewish Sabbath, and the next he declares Sunday is the Sabbath day for the Christians. I mean, truth is, brothers and sisters, it's ignorance like this that will make our job that much easier. However, it will only be effective for the most part if those we evangelize have at least, the very least, read and trusted the Bible at one time in their lives. In other words, the elect will not be deceived as the promise of our Lord, you know, because Jesus proclaimed this in Matthew 24:24. He says the elect can't be deceived. The rest are just too lazy to study the Word, or who only choose to go to church to trust what their pastors say. It is these that will make up the massive number that are going to burn on that great and dreadful day and be destroyed when the seventh plague hits them. And then, of course, at the end of the 1,000 years, have to deal with the second death. Somehow we need to reach them as well. And so our work is playing here too. Next headline. Candidates give their views on Sabbath. And then it reads, 100% of respondents are of the view that full legal protection should be provided for those workers who do not want to work on Sundays. Now, can you see what Satan's up to here? All around the world, there's a movement to make Sunday the legal Sabbath for all the Christians seeking to have a day off of work every week. As a matter of fact, that's why they're rioting in Italy. I even have the articles on the site where they call the Sunday the global Sabbath, and that's one of the whoppers I wanted to share, but I just don't have time. As they continue to do this, the calamities will get worse and more frequent until all the world is legalized in this manner towards Sunday. Then the Pope can demand Sunday laws be enforced with penalties now, since all the nations already have laws on the books legalizing Sundays anyway. This is why they keep changing all these constitutions in these countries. This is why you have these wars in the Middle East, so that constitutions can be changed to acknowledge Sunday laws. Well, they ain't going to say that, but look what happened to the European Union directly after that constitution was ratified. The ink wasn't even dry. 12 hours later, Germany passed Sunday laws, because Germany is the home of the present Pope. So they had to make their statement letting everybody know, so, look, it's obvious, it's on our constitution, let's go for it. Some have had these Sunday laws for decades, in fact. I mean, America had them on the books for 51 years so far, you know, what Kennedy did. So the Pope is now going to have the easy task of demanding all should now enforce them strictly so as to please the Lord in the hopes that the calamity is going to end. I mean, truth is, that will only be a believable excuse for those that don't study prophecy. Sadly, that's the overwhelming majority today. I mean, all Christian churches, even the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they stopped preaching prophecy. All of them have stopped. And this is why there's a movement out there to tell people, stop doing it. Just preach love of Jesus, love of Jesus. That's an ecumenical charge of Vatican II. That's all it is. The truth about this is they will be seeking Sunday laws only because God's remnant people are preaching present truth regarding God's law while exposing he who sits in Rome. The truth we preach angers them because it's emptying their churches. Just like with anything else, they can't go for the throat immediately out of fear of exposure. They're no different than those weak-kneed Pharisees that hounded Jesus for 3.5 years. They will have to condition the people into following their lead first. So instead of saying they want the Sabbath keepers to shut up or die, they say Sunday laws will prevent all the calamities. When the people agree and bow to the Pope's mandate, this is when Satan has them hook, line, and sinker. Now, as the calamities continue and actually get far worse, because they're doing God's will, supposedly, because it's nothing more than their just deserts for denying their Creator's law, they declare now that the remnant few that are denying the Pope should now die so as to prevent everyone else from dying, just as that weak-kneed pack of men called the Pharisees of old, they did in John 11:50, when they said that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. The conditioning of the lost has been exposed to, everything from rock music, bloody video games, graphically violent Hollywood movies, vicious sporting games. I mean, it's going to make it easy for them to look at killing us as a necessity to save their own skins. I did a video on and a sermon called By Beholding We Become Killers or something like that. I can't remember. But if you look at the sports and look at the video games and the music and the movies, yes, the devil is getting people ready to become killers. Not everybody's going to be killers, of course, but quite a few will be. It's going to be very easy for him to have a killer just about anywhere there's a real Christian. Very easy. And if you think that's impossible, it was thought to be impossible to legalize killing of babies just 40 years ago. Well, they have killed over 55 million babies in the USA alone since then. And just a decade ago, it would be considered impossible for a doctor to be able to legally help you commit suicide, yet they do it on a regular basis every day right now. And now many feel it's impossible for children to be legally allowed to remove their parents' feeding tubes in the hospitals so as to prevent their bills from piling up for years. But yet, they're working on that right now in the AMA. So please don't tell me that killing Christians, who, by the way, are already hated by most lawmakers, would never become a legal target for being killed. 6,000 years worth of prophecies have already been fulfilled with 100% accuracy. To say this last one is a farce and impossible to come to fruition is to declare boldly you believe God is a liar. And I know no one here does this. But there may be some that hear this, that do that. Yeah, now I know I'm going a bit long, but, well, I haven't gone long yet, but I'm creeping up on that. So I only have a few articles left, and some of these may shock you, to say the least. Next headline reads, Sunday laws enforced in Brooklyn, New York, May 3rd, 2012. It reads, the community leader leading the charge in the war on brunch is recruiting Greenpoint residents to tattle on restaurants. Remember the brown shirts of Nazis? And Hitler's there, to tattle on restaurants that serve diners outdoors on Sundays before noon. Community Board Number 1 Public Safety Chairman Tom Burrows asked neighbors to join his fight and help monitor illegal brunching activity at the 94th Precinct Council meeting in Greenpoint on Wednesday. Department of Consumer Affairs inspectors deployed after requests from CB1. Members began cracking down on restaurants that serve food and drink outdoors before noon on Sundays in violation of a rarely enforced city blue law that has been prohibited to practice since 1971. Restaurants must now obey the law as it is written and are in a direct affront to the community. So that's right. It is now illegal in Brooklyn for restaurants to serve food before noon on Sundays. Yes, the law was on the books since 1971. That's 41 years ago, I guess. But as students of prophecy have been saying all along, they do that so as to make it easy to enforce the law later on when Rome finally demands it. Conditioning is always performed first. Putting it on the books and never enforcing it is an age-old tactic of Rome, of how Rome did it 2,000 years ago. People reject the laws, yes, but they never really protest when they see it not being enforced immediately. Then later, as is the case here in Brooklyn, when Rome seeks to enforce it, it's already been lobbied, it's already been written, it's already been passed and signed into law, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it now. All they need to do now is enforce it. And protesting it left and right now won't work because it should have been done before it was penned. Hence the blue laws, wherein all government agencies are closed on Sundays that have been, put in place by Kennedy. So soon, that law will be enforced coast to coast on every business. What's happening in Brooklyn is just a testing of the waters to see if they will have much opposition. Seeing how most Christians keep Sunday holy anyway, and Seventh-day Adventists already have dozens of Sunday-keeping churches on their books around the world, and Jews have already agreed to keep Sunday holy back in 2007, the timing now appears right. Do we need any more evidence that it's time to get busy, brothers and sisters? Next headline. Sunday designated as a day of rest in Harveyville, May 11, 2012. And the article says, Sunday is being designated as a day of rest in this tiny town that was hit hard by an F2 tornado last week. Well, it has been prophesied that leaders will claim that breaking Sunday Sabbath is the reason for calamities. They are doing just that. Remember when that Christmas tsunami hit in 2004? A Presbyterian minister claimed that tsunami came because the people were keeping Sunday holy. Of course, he failed to mention that a lot of people that died there that day were inside a Sunday-keeping church when that wave hit. But he won't mention that, of course. And as expected, the calamities did increase since then. And now the town of Harveyville gets flattened by a tornado, and the leaders in that town decide to make sure that everybody in the city now keeps the Sunday holy because we don't want this happening again. Next headline. The Pope at the United Nations demands Sunday to be kept holy for all families. And this one little short excerpt says, Marking United Nations International Day of Families, May 15th, the Pope said employers should also respect Sundays as a day of rest and a time families can strengthen their relationship with each other and with God. Well, as expected, the Pope is now demanding all world leaders keep Sunday holy in their nations. Next headline, a Sunday in Spain, May 23rd, 2012. They played card games, enjoyed the sun in their deck chairs, and demonstrated that the Sunday shall be preserved for families, friends, and recreation, and not for work, business, and commerce. Yes, they are right now marching and demanding Sunday laws in Spain. In fact, like I mentioned earlier, they are doing this in Italy as well now. They're rioting, actually. And as for their version of Sabbath, first of all, it's not Sunday, as the Bible so clearly shows. And secondly, when it comes to card games and recreation on the true Sabbath day, it says in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, that if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Talk about a very blunt promise. Next headline. Sunday shopping voted away in Switzerland, June 19th, 2012. It's just a few days ago. In Zurich, 70% of voters said no to shops being allowed to open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, it only took the Vatican 83 years to cause all the world to bow to her pagan Sabbath over God's holy day. As expected, most will bow to the Pope's day without too much trouble. It's the remnant of her seed that will eventually force the Pope to enforce Sunday laws because they know the elect cannot be deceived nor pressured into breaking God's law. And finally, this last article says that, and the headline says LASG, I can't remember what that's short for, but this is Nigeria. It says, to enforce ban on Sunday markets, June 21st, 2012. That's 2 days ago. And they say the Lagos state government has said it will start enforcing the trading on Sunday prohibition bylaw, which bans opening of markets on Sunday on the island. So again, no, this isn't the actual mark of the beast. They're only enforcing buy and sell laws on one day of the week, and that's Sunday. When they enforce buy and sell all week long, that is the prophesied enforcement. This is how they're leading up to enforcing the mark of the beast, just as our Bible said they would do all along. Now, before closing, I have an urgent plea. Now that we know for a fact Sunday laws are very close, please, I beg you, pray for our workers in the field. Not all of us can be in the field. Some of us have responsibilities that keep us planted where we are, and that's how our Lord wants it. Problem is, those that are in the field doing the work are not just in the USA. We have workers in many nations now. The Seventh-day Remnant people are everywhere now. It's getting everywhere now. And they need your help in a big way. The work is moving forward very quickly, and the blessings have become apparent that the Lord is guiding it. So pray for those of us on the front lines. And if you can help us do this work in any way, contact this ministry or Pastor Craig's ministry as soon as you can. I hope and pray you are blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day.
Just over the mountains in the promised land, like the holy city built by God's own hand. As our weary footsteps gain the mountain's breath, we can view our homeland of eternal rest. We are kneeling home. We are kneeling home. See the splendors gleaming from the domes of our. See the glory streaming through the gates ajar. There will soon be the laughter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. In the roles of the prophets we have long been told. All the wondrous gifts you leave is sweet the goal. Now with raptured vision we can see it there. We behold the shepherd and his mansion there. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes of war. See the glory streaming through the gates ajar. There will soon we'll enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. Those who enter the city are the faithful few, who keep God's commandments, faith of Jesus now. There will lift our voices to the endless day, in his songs of lament and in songs of praise. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes of war. See the glory streaming through the gates ajar. There will soon we'll enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing. My brother, my sister, will you meet us there? In the plain of sunshine, will there be no care? After all God's transition to be true, then when Jesus comes, he will follow you. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes of war. See the glory streaming through the gates ajar. There will soon we'll enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing.
Amen. Amen and amen. Good suggestion was just put in a room here. Where is it? If anyone can translate the Mark of the Beast card or the tracks, we have Mark of the Beast tracks too, in their own language, you know, please do so. And contact me, Brother Craig, Sister Bonnie, whoever, Ace, anybody that's bolded in there. And please, that'd be great. If you can kneel. Please do so. I'm going to finish in prayer. Oh, and by the way, all those verses from box number 10 to box 14, all those Bible verses that are in there, I did share them as I was talking about those articles. I just didn't want to put the verses in with the articles. And so I didn't skip. So anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the truth. Thank you so much for the prophecies that help us realize what time it is and how we need to get ready. We understand clearly why the five virgins wake up when they hear the Master's voice, the bridegroom's voice. Because they not only have the Holy Spirit, they understand the prophecies. Thank you for giving us a desire to go forth with this and share it so that the people can be ready. Bless the workers, Father. There's much work to be done. And there's many things we need to do the work. But we just simply can't afford to do it at this time. And so we pray that you bless those that are doing it and those that help us do it. and bless them too to help us do it. And thank you again, Father, for changing the showbread on Sabbath day and giving us that which we need to make it through this week. And to the best of our ability, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.